Before I get rolling, can I just confirm that you guys can hear this?
That's what played at date night at the Townsville fucking Chinese restaurant. Oh, sorry, Japanese. Jeez, that was racist as well.
Same shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, that video is fucking hell. My head nearly exploded.
The time lapse.
Yeah, that was the thing. That's the one. That's the one that gets me. The rest of it, I'm like, kind of like, whatever. Like, they took some nice videos of each other. That's nice. I didn't give a shit about that. It's the time lapse. What the fuck are you doing?
I mean, the food looks good, but we don't want to see, like, a video of Chad on a date.
Yeah. And you just know he's performing the whole time, right?
Someone should leave a message in the video's comments to his wife. Blink if you're in trouble in the next video.
It's only Chad's side as well.
Yeah.
Just having a romantic dinner with your wife with your fucking tripod in the fucking foyer.
World's least interesting man.
Above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about the NRL and very specifically on this episode, State of Origin. Of course, State of Origin Game 1 has been and gone. Chris and I spoke about that last week. But there is Game 2 to be had for the men, of course. And the teams have been named. We're coming at you at 5 p.m. on Monday the 17th. So the teams have both been officially named. And it's time to get some reactions from the crew. We're going to hear from the Big E a bit later on with some of his classic Queensland parochialism. I am, of course, a Queenslander, a bit less parochial than the Big E. I'm also joined by a couple of New South Wales blue baggers. Do we call you guys blue baggers?
Welshmen.
New South Welshmen. That's a bit, it sounds nicer. That voice is a very unfamiliar one to a lot of people that might be new to the show. Miles Steadman, who is a founding member of this podcast, along with me and Kieran Gibson. He was actually Miles's brainchild. And then he just fucked off and let us learn for about a year. But he's back. Back with a vengeance, Miles Steadman. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be back. I had some pre-show butterflies, which is nice.
Pre-show butterflies. Oh, that's cute. Do we make you nervous?
Yeah. Well, I haven't. My voice hasn't been recorded, apart from with my iPhone and sent to you guys for about 3 months. So,
do you have a recollection of what the last recording was by chance?
I was trying to think of that today, and no, I don't, but it was definitely pre-finals.
Wow, that's a long, long time. Mr. Waring, you're also joining us fresh off last week, because that's how, you know, reliable podcast members turn up for each other. How are you going this week?
Yeah, I'm also here. Not too bad. Just enjoying the, a couple times a year feeling of a West Tigers win. So it kind of, it's interesting that it coincides with, it's like West Tigers win is like a Miles Steadman podcast appearance. It's spaced out by lots of months in between the next one. So, yeah.
I like how easy that joke was to make. Let's get straight into the State of Origin reactions. The Blues were the first to name their team last night, about 7 p.m. Sunday night. And there were predictably some changes. Only one that was forced, though. Joseph Suaalii, of course, suspended for a number of weeks, means that he won't be available at least until the next State of Origin game if they go that way. So there was a centre spot open, but there was also a bunch of contention around a few different positions and a couple of people coming back available who have previously been mainstays in the squad. I'd love to get your reactions from the squad. Firstly, of course, is that the backline features names like Dylan Edwards and Latrell Mitchell. Miles, I'd like to go to you first on this one because you're not exactly a Latrell Mitchell head. How do you feel about Tedesco being omitted after, I think, a pretty strong first half and not as strong a second half last game, and Latrell Mitchell being included at left center?
Look, they're both good players. There's no doubt about that. But that said, they wouldn't have been my fullback and center. For the record, I would have gone with Tedesco and as I alluded to you guys last night, I would have gone with Bradman Best as well. But it does show you the sort of riches that New South Wales is working with. Ed Woods, I'm not quite as high on. I find him to be a tad bit overrated. He's quite slow. He's not that great a ball player. He has an emerging grubber, but that's still a work in progress. So it'll be interesting to see how Queensland react to his selection. They would have obviously done a lot of planning ahead of Origin 1, and then that all went in the recycling. Latrell Mitchell is obviously a great player. We're very lucky to have him. I don't think he, quote unquote, deserved to be selected this year. I think he's very much sort of slight Stephen Bradbury character. But he's obviously done a great job in the other Origins he's played. So I've got no doubt he'll probably do another good performance in a week's time. I also would have considered just some food for thought and playing him off the bench as a utility moin. But I realise that's quite unconventional. But having thought of that potential selection prior to Origin 1, I think it probably lends a little bit more merit now, having with Selwyn Cobber having come off the bench to some success last Origin.
Now, Chris, you are more of a Latrell head than our friend Miles, but I think it's a fair comment to say that Latrell Mitchell didn't deserve being picked. I mean, his last couple of weeks, I think, have been pretty elite at fullback, but prior to that, his form had been patchy. So had his discipline. His fitness had been a big concern for a number of years, but Miles also points out that Latrell's always done the job in the past. In fact, he hasn't been part of a losing series since he debuted in 2018. So every time that he's unavailable, Queensland wins. So I wonder if there is something in that. Chris, do you like the selection of Latrell Mitchell? And I remember we sort of spoke about last week that you were arming and ahhing between him and Burton and Dylan Edwards at fullback. How do you feel?
I've come around a lot stronger since then for Latrell Mitchell. I get it. I would say I quite like the backline selection for game one with Suoli and Lomax and Co. Obviously, didn't work out greatly. But I think in light of that, I think it's a good selection. He's coming into form at the right time. It also coincides with South Sydney actually playing the two other best players in the halves. So I think with that added, you put him in a star-studded team with, a bit of a chip on his shoulder, something to prove, which I think it's coinciding with South Sydney's kind of bounce back. They've put together wins in a row now, so I think it's a good time for that selection. Val Holmes is in the twilight of his career, or at least the back end anyway. So that matchup, like you touched on last week, though, is, I think, exciting for New South Wales fan, potentially. So, yeah, I like it. I think it's needed. I think if we're down 1-0, he's the player to have. Bit of X factor, it might go wrong. Who knows? But I think it's worth the risk. And, yeah, then the second point. So, yeah, I just think it makes that, New South Wales had to pick Dylan Edwards. That was the original thought. I think Tedesco was overall okay, but I don't think he did enough to, make it, a done deal. Obviously, they got New South Wales lost by quite a significant margin as well, and there were a couple of instances in the second half where Tedesco just slipped off tackles, which weren't great. So, yeah, I think Edwards is the right selection. I grant the criticism about, he's not the most skillful fullback or whatever, but he is tough and he does do lots of hard work. And he's a meter eater, which in the greater context or concept of the team selected is they want to get a lot of meters out of the back three and then some of the defensive crushing in the forward pack. So I do like both of those selections.
Another contentious one was in the halves. Let's talk about the spine generally, actually. We've already talked about Edwards, but the rest of the spine reads Jerome Luai at 5'8", keeping his spot. Mitchell Moses, straight replacing Nicho Hynes, who drops out of the squad completely. Reece Robson keeps his spot at number 9. Cameron Murray, I'm going to include in the spine, starting at 13, replacing McInnes, who drops back to the extended squad. And I'm going to also include Connor Watson on the bench as a true utility, as part of that spine, which I imagine he'll spend some time in the spine. Chris, I'll start with you this time. How do you feel about, we spoke about the idea that Hynes didn't have a great game last week. Are you happy that Mitchell Moses is getting a chance? And I imagine you're glowing at the idea of Connor Watson coming in.
Yeah. Look, Hines just wasn't up to it. He will be compensated with 6 Dally M points this week. So given he is such a nice guy. So,
they got a bye too.
Yeah. So, yeah, he'll have that to make him feel better. But, yeah, he just wasn't up to it, I think. And, you know, interesting. I know it's just one moment, but I think it's starting a collective narrative around, you know, big moments, crunch moments, if you will. You know, the Sharks just keep shitting the bed in the finals. Hines' kick at the sideline where he could even hit the side of a barn with that last kick. And, yeah, his performance in game one. Granted, New South Wales had 12. I totally get all that. But his kicking game was horrendous, I would say. I like Mitchell Moses as a selection. I don't think it's that controversial, to be honest. I think it's most New South Wales fans would agree that at full strength, the halves pairing is Cleary, Moses, I would assume so. So, yeah, good decision there. Yeah, it's real. Chris picked this one. I caught it early. I was going for it early. I no doubt had some influence on Madge over this selection of Connor Watson in 14, which is a true Billy Roy, as you pointed out, Bo. It's not just a back on the bench who can play center or wing or fullback. He is a utility. He can play forwards and back. So I think it's a great pick. I was listening to the press conference. If you just drown out the lorikeets in Michael Maguire's press conference, you could actually hear him talk about how Connor Watson reminds him of Craig Wing in a way, which I think is a pretty good comparison. And if Connor Watson ever had a career like Craig Wing, he'd I'm sure he'd be very satisfied with that. So, yeah, this is overall, I really like this Blues team overall. So, yeah, I think that Moses and Watson, just his mass versatility, between backs and forwards, whatever pops up, including like a very effective 9 if no, you know, injuries happen. Yeah, I think they're a great selection.
Miles, same question, sort of like, same sort of leaning towards you as well, because the forward pack is largely unchanged from game one. Do you agree with Chris that Nicho Hynes just didn't seem quite up to it, or are we being maybe a little bit too harsh considering the fact that, I mean, they were playing with 12 for 73 minutes and it was pretty tough going there? What's your take?
No, Nicho had his job to do and he didn't do it. I think people were being very harsh when they criticised his Origin 1 performance last year, where he obviously missed that tackle and came on, 5 minutes to go, played centre and didn't do it very well. But he had a full 80 minutes to sort of show what he could do, and he didn't do a very good job of it. Obviously, you don't become a State of Origin half overnight. That's true. I think it's unfair to expect that from him. But he didn't do his job, so he got replaced. I think that's fair. I would have probably reached for Luai and Burton, but I'm fine with Moses. I think it's good to see him get another shot at halfback. The one issue I have is Robson. I don't know what sort of set Michael Maguire has against Api Koroisau. Maybe it's something left over from the Tigers days, but I don't see how you can't select Api, especially given the job that he did. And he has done before, but in particular on the weekend, deputising at halfback and doing a very good job of it. So that way, if a halfback does
utility,
exactly, he can slip straight into that halfback role with relative ease. So I don't know what I know. Robson's a big body; he's relatively quick for his size, but. He's very prone to a forward pass and hasn't particularly shone in his past 80 minutes in Origin. So I would have probably forgone Robson.
You are, of course, going in direct contravention to the Bloke in a Bar podcast that says that he had a phenomenal game one.
Well, that's incorrect. I mean, I realize that on that particular podcast, you cannot cast any sort of criticism or negative light against any player in the NRL, but he 80 minutes. He had an okay 80 minutes, but I think Koroisau is the kind of player you can describe as having had a phenomenal career at Origin, and he's not there. on the bench or which is
that would also be a stretch. A phenomenal career at Origin. He's played like what, 5 games maybe. I think Rhys Robson had a good game. I think he had a good game, especially in defense. No question. He saved like a try, and he also directly after a Liam Martin hit had a potential match turning hit to dislodge the ball from Ruben Cotter as well. So I thought he was really, really good. Did his job for sure. But is he the right fit? I'm not so sure. I'm not scared of Rhys Robson as a Queenslander. I might actually weigh in on some of those selections. So Dylan Edwards, I think, is probably a good pick. I'm a little bit worried. We watched him get easily out-sprinted by Dylan Lucas yesterday. I'm a bit worried that maybe he's not at full fitness. He's not the quickest fullback in the world anyway, but he is a fitness freak. And I think fully fit, he would have got closer to Lucas. Latrell Mitchell really, really scares me. He, like, I've been calling for him to be picked as like an automatic selection. I think he's one of those guys, like, for example, if Daly Cherry-Evans for Queensland was, you know, playing like shit for Manly, or not even like shit, like just having inconsistency, maybe a couple of injury niggles, not at his best, and Manly coming like second last, I'm still picking Daly Cherry-Evans for Queensland at number 7, because you know what he can do on the stage. Exactly the same with Latrell Mitchell. Like, he's just that good. With all respect to Bradman Best, who absolutely belongs in the conversation, he is just not a generational talent like Latrell Mitchell is. So for me, I agree with you that he doesn't deserve it per se, but he just, like, as a Queenslander, he just scares the shit out of me. I think Mitchell Moses also has a bit of that in him, like his running game. So when you look at the running games of guys like Mitchell Moses and Jerome Luai, there's a lot of threat there. Plus, they obviously have great, like Mitchell Moses is a great kicker, a good passing game. They both do. So, you know, there's a lot of danger there. Robson, I'm less worried about. Cameron Murray, he basically had to come in my opinion. He's someone that like, people were talking about, should he come in? What contention is there? Like, he's one of those guys, right? Like, he's exactly the kind of guy that Queensland would pick, TM. So I think he needs to be there as well. The rest of the squad looks like
he's a big Origin guy.
The rest of the squad, I like. I like Connor Watson coming in at utility. I think that's a great call. Mitch Barnett being 18th is interesting. Matt Burton being 18th for the first game. So, and then, you know, so therefore sitting out from the Bulldogs and then getting dropped from the squad in favor of Luke Keary, that's interesting to me. I can't make much sense of that. Miles, you mentioned that you would have had him in the starting side. What can we take away from that, that he is losing ground to guys like Luke Keary?
Maybe it's just that... Maguire doesn't particularly place quite as much emphasis on that 18 role as maybe some other coaches do. We have seen those reserve spots rotated around previously, depending on availability and who's playing and you know, probably chats with the coaches as well. Serrato saying something like, can you not pick Burton again if he's not going to play? But it is disappointing. Burton is, I don't want to enrage Chris by using the word utility, but
too late.
He has a wide variety of roles. He can play in a team. I think he could even play fullback in a pinch. I think he's played some fullback before, mate. And, you know, Keary's retiring at the end of the year, so what real value does he add to the New South Wales setup going forward? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Matt Burton, like, yes. Like, at the risk of annoying Chris here, he's not a utility in the pure sense of the word, but he is somebody that adds enough versatility that you could cover a few positions with him, like in the mix. So he is unlucky to go from 18th to out. Any takes on that, Chris?
I think there's a maybe Madge is worried about Matt Burton becoming the Andy Bickle of State of Origins, where he's just forever the fucking
12th man,
18th man or 12th man, for example. So I do have a take. I think it's so firstly, if you remember when Edwards was injured, Tedesco was brought in out of the 20. So I don't think the squad really matters too much, to be perfectly honest. I think the more interesting to note is that, like, instead of Hines at 20, Kiri's to 20. Like,
yep.
Hines just got, like, parachuted from the whole squad. But I think the role is, like, instead of – you don't really need versatility if you have Connor Watson on the bench, because Connor Watson would be the supplementary piece for whatever place goes down, and then, like, a forward would come an extra forward in Mitch Barnett, who can play front row or back row.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cheers. You know, I just never mind the point I was going to make, GP. I think that's the logic, because, like, if they already have the coverage in the 17, so then if the 18th man is activated, it's Mitch Barnett, where he can be a front row rotation or a back row rotation. I'm assuming that's the logic there. Cam McInnes is just, you know, I think he's in the squad because he would have played 47 origins for Queensland by now, so it's a tough guy. And Kiri's, I don't know. That one's more confusing to me, but I reckon that's why.
I did bring this up in the group chat, and I thought about this after I brought it up. Actually, after hearing Billy Slater talk about his press conference, where he was talking about a guy like Selwyn Cobbo, who's, you know, he's playing with injections at the moment. He had a really good game one, I thought, coming on. And basically playing center for 70 minutes. But the Broncos have a bye this weekend, and Brendan Piakura and Ezra Mann were also in the squad last time, and the Broncos have a bye this time. So instead of, you know, those guys have played a lot of football this year, instead of dragging them to a squad, putting them through the origin standard prep, is it beneficial for some of those guys to just get away from the game for a bit? With Piakura and Ezra Mann, particularly, that makes a lot of sense. Cobbo feels like he's been dropped. Hines missing out instead of Kiri is interesting, because Kiri will play for the Roosters this weekend. He'll still get named for the Roosters. So he'll go to Origin camp, he'll stay fresh, he'll get ready for a game, then he'll drop back to the Roosters, and then I guess he becomes available again if needed after that. Hines can now completely switch off for a week or whatever, or how long they take off for the bye round. And I wonder if that factored into the decision-making. Let's talk about Queensland. I just brought up Billy Slater. Now, there have been some changes, and I think there's one that's been forced and one that is unforced, which I find really, really interesting. And I'd love to get some thoughts on this. So basically, the back line is as named last time, including the halves, including the spine generally, in fact. So Reece Walsh has passed his protocols and has been named at fullback, reverting Tabuai Fido back to the centres. The forward pack's exactly the same also, on the starting side at least. The only difference is that Jermaine Hopgood is now unavailable with injury. So Felice Kaufusi gets promoted from 18th player to 16th. He played a little bit in game one, obviously, after he was activated. And Selwyn Cobbo appears to have been dropped. As I said, he's getting some injections to get through games at the moment. So, you know, he's not fully fit, but he essentially has been dropped. Billy has aborted from the theory of needing backline utility value, and has gone with Kurt Capewell, who is in dreadful form for the Warriors and has been injury affected. The reserves are Dane Gagai at 18th, Lukey and Trent Liero for potential debuts, I suppose, in the reserves. Miles, you've been pretty vocal in the group chat saying that you still feel like Queensland's team is better. Is that because it's more settled? And as a secondary point, how do you feel about the idea of essentially Cobbo getting dropped for Kurt Capewell?
It's a weird one, particularly as I think Cobbo played a pretty pretty good game one. But I guess you take Billy at face value there and suggest or read between the lines that Cobbo wasn't selected for health reasons. But yeah, I do think that my opinion of the Queensland team is due to it being more settled. And then you look up and down the lineup, and there are players throughout who have had magnificent origin games. Tabuai Fido was pretty much best on ground last origin, although wasn't given it. Daly Jerry Evans in there as well. Tom Dearden has played very few origins, but all of them have been really, really good. Kyler, Ben Hunt, Lindsey Collins. There's not many passengers there or players who you're unsure of. Holmes may be the weak spot in the Queensland team, and that's saying quite a bit. Given that he's had a pretty good Origin career to date. So it all does seem pretty elementary for the Queensland team these days. They sort of show up, beat through New South Wales' initial phases of attack, maybe score a try against the run of play. New South Wales maybe keep it close for 60, 65 minutes, and then Queensland scores a few tries to win the game at the end. That just seems to happen ad nauseum these days, so... That was just my exclamation point, that email coming through.
I was wondering if you'd like cut out or not.
No. I realised how little there was left to say about how good Queensland has been.
Yeah, like be careful or else Andrew Johns will stop talking to you. Chris, same sort of question. Can you make sense of the Kurt Capewell thing? And how are you feeling? Do you feel like, I know there's a lot of pessimism amongst our friends who are New South Wales supporters before game one about that squad. Does it feel like a stronger squad to you and indeed a better chance of winning?
Yeah, I think the New South Wales squad has improved, and I think Queensland's is probably stayed the same. So I think Queensland probably deserve to be slight favourites. I don't mind New South Wales chances. I didn't really give New South Wales much chance after game one, but I feel decently okay with this New South Wales team. There's like this thing with Billy Slater where everyone's like, gee, I don't know about this selection. And then Queensland win, even if for a reason that's not even related to the selection. It's like, oh my God, he's a genius. So, I'll just nominate Trent Liero for one of the more random Queensland selections in recent times. Like, what the hell?
I've been calling for it as an extended bench option. I like the cut of his jib.
I haven't. Kirk Capewell's not even making the Warriors starting team, so he's just like a bench legend. And the Warriors aren't even going well, so I think Felice Kaufusi in the 17 is a good pick. He's someone who can play back row or front row. He's done a really good job in the front row for the Dolphins this year, so the only one really in the Queensland team, Val Holmes isn't the player he was, but he'll do a good job. The ghost of Dan Gagai returns to the 18 as well. So, the only one I'm really kind of like, I don't know, is Kurt Capewell. I don't know for Queensland about that. But, I think it's a more even contest, to be honest. Like, it should be relatively, I guess, split odds-ish, I guess. New South Wales is still slightly under strength, you know, the Cleary's out. Tom Trbojevic is out as usual. I think it's pretty close in the assessment of both teams, but I've probably still got Queensland as a betting favourite, just mainly because they're 1-0 up and the halves. I think Cherry Evans, one of the key difference makers there.
Of course, gamble responsibly if you do like to bet on a favourite. Now, let's talk about some predictions. By the way, do not take these to the bank, especially if you listen to me. Although I did predict DCE to be player of the match because I am a biased Queenslander. Let's talk about who's going to win, what's your margin, and who's the player of the match. I'll let you go first, Chris, with this one. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go New South Wales by 4. Let's say 20-16. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a close game, but I think it'll be one where New South Wales start hot. But then they hang on. For man of the match,
Robson.
Not the bloke man of the match in the 48-minute segment they probably have on him in the preview, which I think the live stream is happening right now. So,
oh, good.
Man of the match, I'm going to go Payne Haas.
I like that. So you could see. I mean, obviously, so Payne Haas was kept pretty quiet in game one, realistically, but New South Wales still managed to grab the ascendancy for most of the field position and possession generally. And I think the forward pack had a lot to do with that. So basically, you're thinking if New South Wales are to win, that it's going to be a tough grind, probably big minutes, big meters from a guy like Payne Haas?
Yeah, I just think a little bit more direction in the halves will help assist with, you know, kicking to the corners, defense, and, yeah, a bit more playmaking, I think we'll set him up in a bit of an easier space. Yeah, and I think Cam Murray will probably assist with that with some better go forward in direction over 13. So, yeah, I can see him having a big role.
Miles, what do you think? Are you going to be – same question to you. Who's going to win basically a margin and a player of the match, and why?
Look, I think Queensland will win because they've got the better team. They've got a more seasoned team, as we mentioned. They prove to themselves that they can win. I think you would call pretty not grubby, but not particularly easy game in game one when New South Wales came at them hard, despite having 12 men. They lost their fullback, had to do a bit of a reshuffle. I think there's probably been two things. The New South Wales team isn't quite good enough. And there's also been probably a little bit too much churn in the, particularly in the key positions like fullback Dylan Edwards on debut, who I doubt anyway. Mitchell Moses at halfback, whose Origin career is not exactly been spectacular, is a good player, but who knows what's changed. Robson at hooker, who you know what you're going to get out of him, and it's not necessarily playmaking brilliance. So
phenomenal.
Cheers, boys. But New South Wales really are asking a lot of not much, with all due respect to those players. Latrell Mitchell, as we've mentioned, he's the wild card there. Could he make something happen? He's the one player that has that sort of hammer quality to him, where he can catch the ball on his own 40 and end up scoring about 10 seconds later. Crichton is getting there too, which sounds a bit weird, but his defence is certainly, I'm a believer in him now. His defence is becoming game-changing, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's certainly kept New South Wales in the game for the majority of the game that they were in a few weeks ago. That said, I'll be slightly more sympathetic on air to New South Wales than I have been off air. I think I'm going to take Queensland by 2 points. I think Moses could surprise us and be player of the game, but I'm going to choose Reece Walsh. I'm going to pick him to bounce back from what would have been a very sore and disappointing game one to be player of the game in game two.
There's little doubt that Queensland have the more strike power and certainly a more settled lineup. So I kind of think that New South Wales are just basically even money, hey, with where this could go. I'm going to go similar to you, Miles. I'm going to go Queensland by a small margin, maybe like 2 or 4. Let's say 4. And in terms of how it's going to be done, we saw last game that even before the send-off, like as the send-off was happening, there was a break through that area, right? So they made that break, then they scored the next two tries to Hamiso through that zone. Hamiso's third try was dead and going through that zone. So Stephen Crichton was moved across and he was there for the Tommy Dearden one. The rest of the time he was spent shutting down Selwyn Cobbo pretty effectively. I feel like he can do a job on Hamiso. So I think that limits Queensland's options quite a bit. So I'm thinking slightly lower scoring. I'm very worried about Latrell Mitchell. New South Wales do have points in them this game compared to the previous game. So I think a similar scoreline to Chris, like that sort of 20 to 16, 22 to 18 kind of realm. Player of the match, I went for DCE last time. I probably won't go with him again. I might go with Patrick Carrigan. I think he's a pretty safe bet. If Queensland are to win and it is to be close, you know that he's going to get through an hour's worth of work and it's going to be high quality and statistically will look fantastic. So that's who I'll go with. Boys, let's hear from the Big E with his phenomenal tips of the week, and then we'll be right back to preview round 16.
Hello, boys. This is the Big E again. I'm doing the Big E phenomenal tip of the week. The first tip I am going to give for the first match, I'm actually going to tip the Dolphins against the Storms, tipping Warriors, tipping the Roosters, tipping many Seagulls, and I'm tipping with Tiger. I'm going to tip Tampa Raiders. And my wild card, I'm going to say, give me Michael Keane, we get a winning try for the Dolphins. And also, I will say happy birthday to Mr. Waring for this Wednesday. And that's it. And yes, hello, Luca. And also the doggies for the morning. Yes, I am going to be at the Alton in Melbourne. I'm going to visit my big brother this weekend. And yes, me, my brother, and mum and dad are going to see the second state of Alton. I just also said that to you boys too, from the Waring. Yeah, I'm going there, so it'll be a great match. And yeah, I think the Morons will. I think the Morons will win, but I think it'll be tough. But yeah, please say no more sin bends. But yeah, no high tackle also. That is disallowed. Anyway, just a biggie, baby. And have a great day and enjoy the pod. And happy birthday to Remy. Biggie out. Cheers, boys. Cheers.
Welcome back to Above the Horizontal. Thank you to the Big E for his phenomenal tips of the week. Much appreciated, Big E. We love you, mate. I'm joined, of course, still by Chris Waring and Miles Steadman. We haven't lost Miles Steadman just yet. He's 6 month tenure away from the pod, hasn't started until the end of this episode. So thank you for sticking around, Miles.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, boys. Let's get into very quickly some tips for round 16. There's only 5 games this weekend. I'll get you to run through them just all at once, if that's okay. I'll start with you, Chris, because you're used to this format. Miles is not used to this format. So, Chris, can you give us your tips for round 16?
I can. Miles, would you like me to speak slowly through this?
No, speak quickly.
All right, cheers. All right, so Friday, Dolphins Storm. I reckon the team I've lost the most tips on this year is the Dolphins because I just don't think they're as good, but they're fourth.
Yeah.
Also, random stat, I think I heard this the other night, is that the Dolphins win against the Sharks, I think, is their first ever win in Sydney. I think yeah. I heard that.
Is that true?
Which is crazy.
Far out.
I don't know, but I heard it. Someone said it.
No, it's correct. Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, Miles. Cheers.
Yeah, which is crazy given, you know, they're, you know, just, you know, make a fairer schedule. Come on. All right. Irrespective, I'm going to go the Dolphins against the Storm. Titans and Warriors. Titans should be disbanded after losing to the Meta AI West Tigers team. combined, you know, like Heath Mason. Who the hell is that? Nah, I was just kidding, Heath. Big friend of the show.
Dollar store, Connor Watson.
And hopefully the Titans win so we're spared of a 14-minute Andrew Webster press conference. I'm like, geez, like, yeah, like they're really trying, you know, the guys. Like all right, the bit's getting old. I'm gonna go the Warriors. Roosters, Bulldogs. I'm going to go the Roosters. Although I am annoyed how well the Bulldogs are going.
Yeah.
But I think the Roosters are too good. Rabbitohs, Seagulls. I'm going to go to Rabbitohs. I reckon they're back. Halves are firing.
No trail mitt.
No trail mitt. And that's fine, though. I really like they've stopped going the random halfback and just finally stuck with Walker and Whiten as the halves, which I think makes the most sense. Two of the three most skillful players in that team. So I'm going to think the Rabbitohs will continue. The West Tigers and the Raiders. I'm going to go the Canberra Raiders because the Tigers, I don't think they will win back-to-back games. But side note, I think Adam Dewey will feature in this game. So long awaited return before he leaves somewhere else next year. So, yeah.
So it's you're happy for the Rabbitohs to be back, but the Tigers, you're not willing to call it?
No. Did you watch that? I watched the game. The Titans lost it. The Tigers didn't really win it. I mean, they look better with Aiden Caesar in the halves. Yeah. Like, there's someone who can playmake there. But yeah, I mean, the skill in the Tiger 17 is just, what the hell? I get the decimated by injury. There's so many out. But yeah, I think the Raiders will be more disciplined than the Tigers. So I'm not ready to announce any kind of, you know, comeback, if you will. So yeah,
don't call it a comeback. Miles, what are your tips for the week?
I'm gonna take the Storm against the Dolphins. They always play well in Queensland, the Storm, and they're maybe the best team in the NRL right now. Who knows?
Not you.
not anyone yet, mate. So we haven't seen. Titans, Warriors, yeah, pretty confident the Warriors are going to win that. I actually wouldn't be surprised if the Titans didn't win another game for the rest of the season. I'm not tipping that, let's be clear, but
I
just wouldn't be surprised. also, the Gold Coast is basically a home game for the Warriors anyway, yeah. To be honest.
Very close to Logan. Very close to Logan. Yeah.
Very close to Logan.
good luck getting a ticket.
Roosters Bulldogs. I'm going to tip the Roosters there. Rabbitohs Seagulls. I don't want to do this, but I want to get the tip right more than anything. So I'm going to tip the Rabbitohs. I think the Seagulls outs will be too difficult to overcome there. And Tigers, Raiders, as much as I'd like to tip the Tigers, I'm going to tip the Raiders. I think the Tigers are playing that one at the graveyard of home team wins, which is Campbelltown. So the place will probably be 75% full of Raiders fans, and the Raiders will win.
All right. That's fun. I'll do mine. Let's go. what are we calling this one? The Kenny Bromwich Trophy. The Dolphins and the Storm. I will go with
Missy Bromwich Trophy.
Well, it could be that as well. Mark Nichols. He played for the Storm for a bit. I'll go with
Branko Lee.
Look at us playing NRL group live, basically. Trying to find the most obscure one. Branko's a good shout.
Yeah, in the State of Origin round, it should be the Branko Lee Cup. Queensland legend, Branko Lee.
Yes, indeed. Try scoring rate of 1 out of 1. Did he score that try? Or was it Edge? Anyway, whatever. I'll go for the Storm. There's a talent deficit between the two teams, even with Origin impacting the Storm's availability. So I will go with them. In the Paul Turner Cup between the Titans and the Warriors at the Gold Coast, I am not going to sleep on the Titans. I'll go for the Warriors. The Corey Allen Cup, the Roosters and Bulldogs. Actually, in Friendly's part of the world, Industry Group Stadium, Gosford. I will go for the Bulldogs because I'm a bit worried about some of the outs. Oh, actually, no, they'll have Kiri and Tedesco back, won't they? The Roosters.
Will they have the Hectic Cheeto? Is Hectic Cheeto back?
Well, no. I mean, Connor Watson's out, so probably, yeah, they probably will bring him back regardless of his disciplinary situation. Yeah, actually, the Roosters are probably the safe bet there. I'll go for the Roosters. Oh, geez, who can I go with here? Who's a good Rabbitohs and Seagulls? Who's obscure in that one?
Bud? Yeah.
Rabbitohs and Seagulls?
Did Michael Cheekham play for the thingo? Did he play for the Eagles?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Are you saying Bud Sullivan?
No, I'm saying Mark Carroll.
Oh, Spud.
Spud.
Yes.
I like.
I thought you were saying Jaden Sullivan. I'm like, no. What?
We'll probably definitely have no off-air jokes about Mark Carroll or off-taste.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely not. Very enthusiastic about the good looks of Reece Walsh, Mark Carroll, which is fine. 2024. Like, that's great. I will also go for the Rabbitohs. I think they are back. Trelmitt not being there hurts, but I think they'll be okay. And, oh, geez, the James Tedesco Cup, did that count?
Yeah.
After he backflipped on the Raiders? I will go. Actually, I've got such a soft spot for the Tigers. I just want to tip them every week, but it's just such a foolhardy thing to do. So,
so rude.
Cheers.
Well, I mean, like, they've done it to themselves. I mean, like, I want to support them, you know? I'm very sympathetic. Sympathy is exactly what they shouldn't want, but they're getting it. I will.
The Todd Payton Cup. Did Todd Payton play for the Raiders?
He did. He came through Endeavor. Ended up at the Raiders. So yes, the Todd Payton Cup. I am going to go for the. I'm going to commit to the Tigers. Fuck it. I'm in.
Oh, jeez, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm not actually officially tipping anywhere, so I have no accountability. I just this is all just random.
Yeah,
this is all fun.
I haven't tipped the Tigers in an app since round two. I'm not even kidding.
That's probably fair enough, and it's been a pretty good strategy generally. I'm going to go for Tigers. Fuck it. All right, boys. Thanks very much for today's episode. Do you have any bold predictions for me? And it can be about Origin because we're not going to do an episode before State of Origin next week. Mm. So have a think about a bold prediction for State of Origin. I am going to go with 2 try involvements for Latrell Mitchell. I think he will either score or be obviously quite involved in 2 tries. Chris, do you have a bold?
I think Spencer Lenu will score a try.
Spencer Lenu. And he was so close to scoring in the first game. He was top 3 New South Wales player last game. I think that's pretty comfortable to say. So good shout. I like it. Miles, what are you thinking?
Stay with me here.
No.
Off-colour Queensland tackle will take a New South Wales player out of the game, a la Reece Walsh.
Bit of payback.
It'll be a Billy Slater kick to the head, like he used to do.
An ear bite, sexy ear bite.
Yeah, glass houses, champ.
Do you want to... will said Queensland player be disciplined?
I'm just going to call it a borderline or an off-colour tackle.
Okay, so an illegal...
Well, not even necessarily illegal.
Oh, okay.
Because that would mean that they would have to be
seen business enough. So you're thinking that there could be an off-colour moment that is not potentially accurately disciplined by the officials. Queensland conspiracy. And they've taken out key New South Wales player, Reece Robson. Phenomenal player.
Well, no, I'm not going to shorten my odds to Reece Robson, sorry. But let's leave it in the hands of the listeners. If they think that what I say will happens, then cheers, boys.
It's fucking grey. It's grey.
All right. Yeah. Say the person is at least either sent from the field or sin binned.
Okay.
If there's a high shot and it doesn't get sent off and it's bad, I will go full Jack McDonald.
That's about 6 people in the world that know exactly what you mean. And I'd love to see it. Boys, thank you very, very much. Chris, what are your plans for watching State of Origin?
Don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow, to be honest. Probably not work. No, I don't know.
Are you on holidays?
Nah, not yet. So,
every day of the week. Bah!
Couple of weeks.
You'll want to talk.
Yeah. I don't know. Either at home with a fucking pizza or with maybe at a pub. I'm a bit like Friend. I actually like staying in for Origin so I can concentrate and not be around fucking Yahoos, so probably on the couch, to be honest, but we'll see.
I'm very much the same. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you also to the Big E, by the way, for his contribution. And thank you to Miles Steadman for turning up. We look forward to seeing you again, maybe by finals. I guess we'll have to see. But where are you going to be watching State of Origin 2 from? We know that the Big E will be at the MCG with his parents and brother. That's very exciting.
Yeah,
but I assume you're not doing that. What are you going to be doing?
Mogadishu.
No. I'm very jealous of Big E. I've seen many AFL games and a Wallabies game at the MCG, and when it's full, it's a fantastic venue. I'm like you guys, probably just be on the couch. I prefer State of Origin on the couch or at the Brunswick.
Yeah, the Brunswick was the atmosphere wasn't great, but it was like bow friendly.
Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie, I was underwhelmed, but it was certainly more Bo and Kieran friendly than it was. Yeah, I was actually quite surprised and let down by Queensland.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to like the full experience, you could have gone to the Caxton.
Yeah,
I would have gone. I would have gone. I would have done it for you, but I would have.
No.
I would have been very, very antagonistic.
I wouldn't have asked you to do that.
No, I appreciate that. It would have been like friendship severing, I think.
For the record, there was like borderline more New South Welshmen at this pub than Queenslanders.
There were, yeah. I guess maybe they've assessed the situation and gone, you know what? The Paddo, the Storybridge Hotel, the Caxton, they're going to be swarming with a pissed up bloody Queenslanders that are looking for a fight, especially giving us a hard time after a loss, which was likely. So you've all like just as cockroaches as do, they've just like survived. So you've just headed to a safe place like the Brunswick, and there you are. Now you're right. I think Queenslanders were actually outnumbered. You know, whatever. I had fun.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I look forward to that again. Thank you to Chris and thank you to the BE and thank you to all the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and like and give us 5 stars if you can. That's very appreciated. And tune in next week when we go above the horizontal again. But until then... Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Stebbin, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.